You are holy, shiri baya karabu tukuba, shidi giri kura baka shigiri baya karabu tukuba. You are holy, shiri boro karabaka bo, shidi giri kura baka baka shigiri kura baka. You are holy, maya karabu tukuba, shidi giri karabata kashi, idi karabaka. I thank you, Jehovah God, this morning. You are God, you are holy. Kurabata karabata kabokoba shiri di di di. You are holy, God. Shiri maya karabutu kubaka shiri kurabata kase di 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 di. Makarabutu kubaka shiri di kiri maya karabata isi di 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 kurabata kase di 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 kerebata kase di 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 di. You are holy, kurabata. Kashi ekiribu tuko ashe ekiriba la karaba takashi di di kiribu ama ya karaba takashi di 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 kiri kuraba takashi di di kiri karaba tuko ashe de. Makarabu tuko bashi di di kiri kuriba la karaba takawa kashi di kiri kuraba takarabu tuko bakashi riki di kiri kiri karaba tuko raba kabaka washi di. Shikidi kidi kidi karabo toko bakasi didi kidi 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 rekodi karabo toko bakashi kidi kidi karabo toko bakashi kidi kuraba takashi didi di makaraba takashi kidi kidi kuraba takaraba takashi didi kidi kidi karaba takaraba takashi didi kidi kuraba takabaka rekari bata da 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 karabo toko bakashi didi makaraba takaraka boko bakashi didi kidi kuraba takashi didi de keniba maya ranche te se te de karabo toko ba she da 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 karabo ko ba she de mokora ba takashi de kede kora ba takashi de kede kora ba takarabo takashi de. Thank you, Lord. Shikaraba takaraba takabashi. Gidikidi kiri karaba tukubakashi. Gidikaraba tukubakashi. Gidikidi rikariba takashi. Gidikaraba tukubashi. Gidikidi kuraba takabashi. Gidikaraba takabakabashi. Rikariba takashi. Gidikidi kuraba takabakashi. Gidikidi kuraba takashi. Gidikidi kuraba takashi. Gidikidi kuraba takashi. Gidikidi makaraba takashi. Gidikidi karaba takashi. Gidikidi karaba takaraba tukubashi. Gidikaraba tukubashi. Kubasa maya ratatata shada da da karabo tukubashi dikidi kuraba takashi dikidi kuraba takashi didi miya karaba didi karaba tukubashi dikidi karaba takabashi didi da karaba tukubashi didi rikariba takashi kidi kanta didi bakabashi kidi karaba takashi didi. Oh Father God, I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you worship. Mekiri maya karabo tukubashi didi makara Takashi and the Karabatokobashi, then the Karabatokobashi, in the Karabatokabashi, then the Karabatokobashi, the Makarabatokobashi, then the Karabatokobashi, then the Karabatakaboshi, the Karabatakabashi, then the Karabo, Makarabatakabashi, then the Karabatokobashi, then the Karabatokobashi, then the Makorabatakashi, then the Karabatokobakashi, then the Karabatokobashi, then the Karabatokobakashi, then the Rekaribatakabashi, then the Karabatakabashi. Kabakashi indicated Karabatokobakashi and the Karabakarabatokobashi did it. Barabatakabaka bakashi in the kidikura batakaboshi, the karabatakabashi, the karabotoko bakashi, rekaribatakashi, the kedekarabotoko bashi, the rekedikarabatakarabakarabako bakashi, the karabotoko bashi, the dekarabatakabashi, the rekedikarakarabako bashi, the karabotoko bashi, the rekedikarabatako bashi, the karabatako bakashi, the Rekari kede karabu tukubashi de 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 de
Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the person that is listening this morning. I thank you for the brother, the sister that is needing your support, needing your help, oh God. I thank you. Karabatakashi,
Oh, Father God, release your grace, release your wisdom, release your understanding, release your hand, oh God. The Lord, we can hear you. Makarabo to Kobash, de, Makarabo to Kobash, the Karabo to Kobash, de, Karabo to Kobash, de, Ambakarata, Ayakaraba Takash, de, Karabo to Kobash, de, Rekadiba Takash, de, Karabo to Kobash, de, Makarabo to Kobash, de, Karabo to Kobash, de, Basi. Ayabara da 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 arabataka baka shikidi karabatu kubasha da 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 karabataka baka shikidi kidi karabatu rekani di di kidi korabataka shikidi kidi kori bada karabaka rakani bataka shikidi karabatu kubasha da 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 karabatu kubasha da 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 karabatu kubasha da 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 rekani di 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 karabatu kubasha di di kidi karabatu kubasha di di rekani karabatu kubasha di di kidi kidi karabatu kubasha di de de karabu to kobash de rekariba ta karabu to kobash de karabu to kobash de rekariba se karabu to kobash de karabu to kobash de kedaka reke de karabu to kobash de karabu ta kash de karabu ta kash de kedaka am karabu to kobash de da reke de karabu to kobash de karabu to kobash de da rakata kash de da Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're fighting it for us, oh God. Thank you that you're making a way, oh God, that you've reversed every situation. Indeed, that is not according to your will, oh God. Thank you that we walk according to your will, according to your purposes, according to your doing, according to your leading. That, Lord, you are in control. You are faithful. Rabati kasha tada karabutu kubashi dikede kara ambakarata tadashi dada karabutu dududu. Thank you, the Lord, you are at work. Makarata da 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 she de karabu to kobash da da mia karabu to kobash da 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 mokurabata da 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 karabu to kobash da 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 karabu to kobash. Makarabata kabash, the kid, korabata kash, indicator, karabata karabata kora karabata kubash, the karabata kura kabak, rekedikere karabata kuda karakabaka bakash, kidigi karabata kuda karabo, rekedede, rekede karabata kabash, indicate korabata kash, indicate korabata kash, the karabu, makasi, the karabata kubash, da, rekani karabata kubash, the korabata kash, indicate karabata. Kabash de Rekariba Takash in the Karama Takabash in the Karama Tokobash de Rekariba Takash in the Karama Tokobash de Amba Karama Tokobash indicate the Karama Tokobash indicate the Karama Tokobash de Makarama Tokobash indicate the Karama Tokobash de Karama To Makarama the Karama Tokobash de Karama Tokobash the Karama Tokobash indicate the Karama Toko Ambayarata Amba. Karabata da da, Ambaya Karabata Karabaya Karabu to Kobash, the Karabu to Kobash, the Kura de Kadam. Ma karabo to kubaka bakash de karabo to kubash de rekani matakabush de karabo to kubash da ambaya tatata ambaya karabo to kubash de arakada kabaka shiki de karabo kabakash de araba tatata tatash de karabo to kubash de karabo to kubash de ambaya tatakarabo to kubash de karabo to kubash da rekani metike de karabo to kubash de Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you that this message is going out to the world, oh God. Thank you for the millions and millions of people, Lord God, who are listening to your word. Thank you for the nations. You say we can ask for the nations. Thank you for the insights, for the revelations. Thank you for the truth. Oh, give us your grace. Give us your wisdom. Give us your ability. I recognize it's not I at work, but you at work in me. Amba yata da karabo tukuba shidi di karabo tukuba shidi di di yata karabo tukuba shidi kada karabo tukuba shidi di 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 rekari matakashi idi di di kuba shidi da karabo kuba shidi. Makarabo took a bow, shed the kedekede koraba takashi, the karabo took a bash, the kadakarabo took a bash, the kede, rekede, the karabo took a bash, the kadakarabo took a bash, the kede karaba took a bar, rekede kede koraba takashi, the kede koriba takashi, the rekede karabo took a bash, the kede karabo took a bash, the kede karabo took a bash, the kede kede koraba takashi, kede ayara ta 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 ta, rededede. Karabuko baka 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 shiki diki diki diko rabata hasa ta ta ta. Makara ta 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 da karabu tu 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 da karabu tu ko bahasha da karabu tu ko bahasha da record di makara ta ta ta. I pray for health. I pray for health. Oh God, those that are sick, oh God, those that need healing this morning, oh God, I pray for health, physical health, spiritual health, oh God, across Jesus. I break the power of sin. I break the power of sin, oh God. Those that are broken, that those that are under the bondages of sin, we come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. I know, oh God, that Lord, we need your people to be delivered, oh God. And this morning, we are going to learn, oh God. You're going to teach us your ways. You're going to teach us to break the forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of the enemy, oh God, that indeed we are not under the control. We are not under the control of the devil, oh God. Ambo tutu bo se de de parabata ta shi ke de karabutu ko ba shi de karabutu ko bo shi de ambo ro to ko ba ka shi de karabutu ko ba shi de karabutu ko ba shi de karabutu du du de karabutu ko ambo ro to to ko rabati ji de kiri mo to ko ba shi de karabutu tu tu ma karabutu du du no ba shi de karabutu ko ba shi de karabutu ko ba shi de karabutu amba karabutu de karabutu de ka ba shi de karabutu ko ka ba ya ka ba Karabo to do 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 da 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 ba she da 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 karabo to do 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 ma karabo to da 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 karabo to do do da she da 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 she da 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 karabo to da 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 karabo to do 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 karabo ta she da da amba ko da 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 she da 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 amba karabo to do ko ba she da. Blessed be your holy name. 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 Makarabatada. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. I give you worship. Thank you for your grace. I will not take it for granted. I know it is your doing and it's not my effort. May your name be praised, be worshiped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Praise God. Good morning. It's another good morning that you've gathered here. And I pray that God is going to speak to us in a language that we understand, and that we are going to hear from him and learn from him. And so today we will continue with the topic. I mean, yesterday we started speaking about sowing to the Spirit. And I can just, and this we read from Galatians. We read from Galatians, which was our core text. And this was in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. It says, where it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows or whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. Or from the flesh will reap destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not become weary of doing good, because in due season we shall reap. That means we shall harvest if we do not give up. And I started looking at this aspect of what does it mean to sow in the Spirit, and just trying to understand the principle of the harvest and the principle of the seed. And one thing that we saw yesterday from Genesis chapter 1, and where in creation, what we saw clearly is that God created the seed as a principle for his world, as a principle for multiplication, as a principle with a capacity and inherent potential. And I think there's this statement that says that you might be able to count the number of seeds in a fruit, but you cannot count the number of fruits in that seed. And so that tells you that each and everything that we do has potential to reap a harvest in us. That means if you plant a mango seed, you have the potential to result in more than 500 mangoes per season of harvest, per season of maturity. Because the mangoes grow so big and they have so many that if you don't even harvest them, they will just fall off and rot from the tree. Now, each of those mangoes has just one seed. But in that seed, it has the potential to produce, let's say, up to 10,000 or 5,000, if it will have 10 harvests, 5,000 mango fruits, which are 5,000 mango seeds. So the principle of God in creation is that he created a principle of the seed. The seed is a creation principle. The seed is a creation principle. So there is nothing that happens without the seed. Or rather, everything that we do, even right now, you listening to this audio, it is a seed that you are sowing to the Spirit. That means that in Galatians chapter 6, we see that there are two soils, or rather there are two things that we human beings can decide to sow to. It simply tells us, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. That means that he will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt. I'm looking at Amplified, the version, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. Now, let's just look at that summary of that. How do we mock God? We mock God by ridiculing him. We mock God by treating him with contempt. And we also mock God by allowing his precepts to be scornfully set aside. What does that mean?
Have you met people who are willful atheists or willful rejecters of God? These are people who have decided that God does not exist and they don't care about God. And even there are those who says, yeah, I believe he exists. I'm agnostic. So I have knowledge that God exists, but I have my own definition of God. I have my own understanding of who God is. And the kind of God that I have is one that allows me to do whatever I want because he still blesses me, because I still have a good job, because I still have children. I don't suffer from poverty. I don't suffer from barrenness. I have a good husband. I have a good investments. I have all this. And so you can find someone believes that because everything is working out for their good or everything works out is in order in their lives, then that means that they are good. And this is a problem even with the church today, especially the materialistic gospel. And I won't call it the prosperity gospel. And I think I pray that we can start using the right word for it because prosperity is of God. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says that I, the Lord, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. So God's plans are for prosperity. Please let us wire it in our hearts and in our minds that God's plans for every believer is to prosper them. And this prosperity is not just in the physical things. Beloved, above all else, I pray that you may prosper even as your soul prospers, in that God desires that both our physical prosperity, our emotional prosperity, our mental prosperity, our financial prosperity, and most important, our spiritual or our soul prosperity, even our health prosperity. So if you find that you say you are prosperous, we are going to see that your physical body, your spiritual body, your emotional body, you are walking in complete and total wellness. And that means that Jesus, when he paid the price for sin, he paid for the complete and total wellness, both in the physical, in the spiritual, in the emotional, in the mental. We can see the healings of Jesus. Jesus restored mad people who were brought back to sanity. He simply cast out the devils. Then we can also see that Jesus healed the physical illnesses, those that were crippled, those who could not walk, those who could not see from birth, those who were bent over for 18 years, those who were bleeding for 12 years, those who have spent all they had, those even who are dead. Jesus meets a funeral taking place. He finds and he sees this widow, this mother, this old woman who is crying over her only son, and Jesus is moved with compassion and touches the boy. And the dead man wakes up. Jesus is moved with compassion for his friend Lazarus and his sister, that is Mary and Martha, and he just says, "Lazarus, come forth." So we can see that God is at work. I mean, God is so concerned with each and every one of us, both our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual being. And Jesus will even tell them, which is easier to do? Should I say, I forgive the man? Or should I say, rise up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to not only forgive sins, let me now prove it to you that I have authority to forgive sins. You, man, lame man, pick up your mat and go. Rise up and go. And the lame man woke up. Now, the Pharisees and the Israelites, the theology, and which is the prevailing theology at that time, is that any sickness, those who are crippled, those who are born blind, was because of sin. And even you remember the blind man, what they tell him, you are steeped in sin from your birth. How can you lecture us? You know, when they kept asking him, are you sure this man who healed you is a righteous person? They say, give glory to God. And then he said, I am really amazed. The blind man told them, I am really amazed. Can a sinful man, can God hear the prayers of a sinful man such that he can open the eyes of a man born blind? And they got mad at him. They said, even you are steeped in sin at birth. That means that the reason why you are born blind is because you are steeped. That means you are even soaked in sin. It's like all the sin was on that. And the reason why, and you remember even the disciples asked him, who sinned that this man was born blind? Is it that his parents sinned? Or did he sin at birth? Because when he was born, he did not sin. But the Bible says that it was neither this man nor this parents had sinned, but this happened that the glory of God might be revealed. And so I want us to bring ourselves to the question of sin and sinful nature. Because I think one of my brothers has posed the question, and I think it also in another forum that where someone was asking, and maybe let me look at the statement. Okay, basically in summary, the question was, is sin an action or is sin a nature? And that is a question that is very complex, because it has ramifications with regards to salvation. It has ramifications with regards to how we live our Christian walk. Because if we say sin is not an action, then that means that it doesn't matter what I do, I am not sinning. And you can find that when someone believes that sin is not an action, they don't care what they do. And basically what they say, God has already paid the price of sin. So sin does not exist. Sin does not live in me. Whatever, it doesn't matter what I do. Sin is not accounted for me. I'm going to heaven. I am fine. And you find people living like the devil. I am under grace. But the Bible is very clear that let not your freedom be a license for sin, license for sexual immorality, license for the works of wickedness. So we must understand that sin is sin, or rather sin is evidenced in the actions. And I want us to have an understanding of sin and sinful nature, and God helping us, by the end of this teaching, we'll be able to differentiate between sin and sinful nature, and to also see the solution that God has given for sin and the solution that God has given for sinful nature. So now I will, maybe on another day, I will dig into what is sin. Because we know that sin is an action that is in disobedience to God, is in disobedience to God's law, is in disobedience to God's principles, is in disobedience to God's patterns, is in disobedience to the created order of God. So anything that contradicts God is sin. Secondly, sin is also falling short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And then it goes on to say that, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 6:23 and Romans 3:23. You can check them out. 3:23, yeah, or 3:24. You can check that out. The wages of sin is death. That means that God has established a law that the payment, you know, wages are what you deserve. Eh? When you have worked the whole day, at the end of the day, if someone came and cut grass from you, he deserves his wages. At the end of the month, someone who has worked under your household, they deserve their wages. It is their right. That means when we walk in sin and when we live in sin, the wages of sin, that means the right, they rightfully come. Death rightfully comes. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, from verse 12 to 21, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all people, no one being able to stop it or escape its power, because they all sinned. Sin was committed in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone where there is no law against it. Verse 14, yet death ruled over mankind from Adam to Moses the lawgiver, even over the ones who had not sinned as Adam did. Adam is a type of Christ, is a type of him who was to come. But in reverse, Adam brought destruction. Christ brought salvation. Verse 15, but the free gift of God is not like the trespass, because the gift of grace, that's the gift that comes by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflows to the benefit of many. So, let me just, you can read it. We can see that God, from the beginning, God did not make sin. God did not make evil. And God never desired that Adam to know evil. That means Adam was not supposed to know sickness. He was not supposed to know death. He was not supposed to know growing old. He was already born a complete and mature adult. He was not supposed to know any of that. And everything that God made was good. But in the garden, there was a tree. And you see, the thing with God is that he gives us so much freedom, but he just asks us to do one thing. And I listened to someone who was preaching the other day, like equating the tree of good and knowledge and evil to the tithe. In that, of all the money God has given you, all he asks you to, for your faithfulness to see, is your tithe. Not that he needs it, but it is an indication that I am grateful to God for everything that he has done. And out of the abundance that he has given, he has allowed me to chop and to eat 90%. All he's asking of me is a 10%, which I give back to him in surrender, and which I give back to the servants of God so that they can do and fulfill the work of the ministry. And he clearly told his disciples that if test me in this and see if I will not walk, I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you shall have nothing, no lack. Now, the difference between tithing in the New Testament and tithing in the Old Testament is this. If we don't tithe in the New Testament, we are not under a curse, because Christ already became the curse for everything. So tithing in the New Testament is not a must. In fact, you could be happy that you have never tithed, and you should never be condemned. In fact, no pastor should follow you and give you a call and put a record that, oh, I've not seen your tithe, your spiritual cover is expiring. In fact, it's like a subscription. So it's not a subscription. It's not a law. And if you don't tithe, you will go to heaven. It's not a sin. But I want you to realize that there is a blessing that God taught from the principle of tithing. And he told his disciples, or rather, it teaches us in Malachi that if, test me in this, that if you do it, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. So now, what we are not under the curse of the law, but if we obey the principles of God, we receive the blessing of God. Now, I don't refuse that we are blessed with Christ in every spiritual blessing in Christ, but you will come to the experience that anyone who tithes, anyone who gives, anyone who sows, everything that you do, that you sow to the Spirit, you reap from it. You shall reap eternal life. You shall reap a harvest from it. So if you plant mangoes, you expect to reap mangoes. If you sow resources into the kingdom of God, then from God you will reap a harvest. And that's why Paul said, I pray that it is God who gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower, that in each and every moment you shall be abundantly provided for, lacking nothing. So there is no day that a giver, a sower, or a tither will ever become poor. If they understand that they are not giving, sowing, or tithing as a law. They are not entering into a contract with God. They are doing it out of love, not out of compulsion. They are doing it out of joy because God loves a cheerful giver. Any type of offering that you give, if you are grieved as you give it, please go back. Even if you want to give your tithe and you're feeling so much pain in it, go back. Because then it will not be received. Because God is like, but why are you coming to me grudgingly? Please, as you go and give your tithe, as you go and give your offering, as you go and give your first fruits, rejoice. But if you feel in your heart that you're not convinced, you're struggling and you're having these challenges, please don't. And you're free, you're set free. You don't need to. But what we see in the scriptures, because what I want you to understand about the law, Jesus clearly said that no single letter from the law shall be cut off. That means that Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. That means that there is a fulfillment of the law. There is a complete fulfillment. What does it fulfill? That every righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in Christ. In that Christ fulfilled the entire law for you and me who believe in him. That means that no one is to judge you why you are not keeping the Sabbath. For example, if you decide, let's say Sabbath is Sunday or your Sabbath is on Tuesday, the day you are off, and that is the day you dedicate to rest. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that is why Jesus healed on the Sabbath without a problem. Why? Because they are giving him a law to obey, and yet he's the one who created the law. Now, but what is the principle? Let us look at the principle. The principle is that God rests and he expects us to rest. And in that day of rest, it's our day of reflection and giving thanks to God. So, in simple terms, you need to put rest in yourself. Even God was teaching them how the land must rest. That after 7 years, in the seventh year, you're not supposed to plant anything. Don't plant anything. Allow the land to rest, so that the land can also be rejuvenated. But people keep doing everything they want, manure everything. But God was teaching them, because they desecrated the land will not reap a harvest for them. You can see how even teaches about Jubilee, that in the 50th year, no one should be a slave. Everyone should be set free. If someone has a debt with you, it is forgiven. So even when they leased land, when they gave money, they will calculate based, the value of land was based on how far is it from the Jubilee. Because in the day of Jubilee, even if someone owed you how much money, they are set free. So you will calculate, even lease out a land or hire out someone. That's why the Bible used to say, if your own countryman goes and hires out himself for money, that means he goes and makes himself a slave because he doesn't lack. You will calculate based on the number of years to the Jubilee. But then on the day of Jubilee, you are to set them free. Unless that person says that, no, I love my master. My master has given me a wife, has given me children, and decides that, no, I want to be a willing, full slave of my master. And what they will do, the slave will come and the master will pierce his ear on the doorpost, like he will drive a nail on his doorpost. And then that person will become a bond slave of the master. That means he's a willing, full slave. That's why you can see Paul describes himself, I'm a bond servant of Christ. I'm a bond slave of Christ. That means that Christ has already set him free, but he has purpose to come and become a slave willingly to obey Christ. And that's why we see him do so much, because God is in need of men. He has brought many sons into glory, but few of those sons are saying, Lord, I'm your slave. I'm here that you can use me. I want to be your bond servant. Send me where you want to send me. Not my will, but your will be done. Yet children are loved of God, but mature sons come to the point of understanding and ask their father, Father, what do you want me to do? My God, I feel... I want you to understand, oh my God, where are we in our teaching? My God, okay. Okay, we are here again tomorrow, so nothing to worry about. Please, you'll tune in again, and maybe the topic has changed in between, but we'll continue. So, sin is wrongdoing. Sin is an action. Sin is a thought. And we act not only in our bodies, but also in our thoughts. You know, the disciples, the Pharisees will be like, they were like, this person was caught in the very act of adultery. So to them, and Jesus, okay, the verses, Jesus, someone said that it, Jesus was teaching and he said, it was said to you that do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he has committed adultery with her in his heart, whether it's a man or a woman. And that's why as Christians, we need to move away from these things of like, oh, lusting after people. That is a sin in God's eyes in equal measure. And so you'll find someone beating their chest, oh, me, I've never fallen into sin. But they are slaves to sin in their minds, in their evil desires. Then you find someone is actually committing adultery in their hearts multiple and multiple times because they have not understood the righteous requirements of God, that no man has the capacity in themselves to be cured of sin and to be cured of sinful nature, because sinful nature, the origin of sinful nature is the sin of Adam. Now, I want us to understand, what is sinful nature? Sinful nature is also referred to as self. Is the selfish nature, is carnality. Sinful nature is basically what we see. These are human weaknesses. Have you ever heard of someone saying, no, but we are weak. The reason we fall into sin is because we are weak. The reason when we are challenged, we lie, is because we are weak. The reason people cheat in exams is because they are weak. The reason why people do corruption is because they are weak. And that weakness is a result of the sinful nature, is a result of selfishness, is a result of carnality. So various descriptions are used to describe sinful nature. So sinful nature can either be referred to as self, it can also be referred to as carnality, it can also be referred to as flesh. So I want you to understand, anytime the version that you read, that it says, he that sows to please the flesh, he that sows to please the self, he that sows to please the carnality, who that sows to please his cravings, his sinful cravings, he that sows to please his sinful nature. So all these are one and the same description of the sinful nature that exists in man as a result of the sin of Adam. I want you to understand, and Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 tells us that the acts of the flesh, the acts of sinful nature are obvious. That means that no one needs to tell you that this is sin. I find people finding so many arguments, oh, is kissing wrong? Oh, is touching wrong? How far is too far? The Bible clearly tells us that the acts of sinful nature are obvious. That means they are clear. No one can even argue. If it is sin, it is sin. If it is watching pornography, you see, it is sin. Whether you try to equate it that, oh, I'm just doing it, I'm thinking of my wife, or I'm thinking of my husband, or what, it doesn't matter. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. And what does it say? Sexual immorality, all forms of immorality, all forms of sex that are in opposition to the principle of God is sexual immorality. There's a principle, there's a set pattern for God. Jesus, even God, the Bible teaches us that they abandoned the natural, the nature, the set principles of God and lusted after one another, improper lust, and you know what I'm talking about, then that is sinful nature. That is sexual immorality. Number two, impurity, debauchery. idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You find you're just too angry. The Bible tells us in your anger don't sin, but this one is fits of rage. That means any time you just burst into anger, that is the works of your flesh. That is sinful nature. It needs to be dealt with in Christ. Driving is makes you so angry. That is the flesh. Selfish ambition. You find people want to achieve, make it or make it by all means. They don't care who they hurt in the process. They don't care who they disappoint. They don't care what is the end result. That is selfish ambition. That is the work of the flesh. Dissensions, factions, fighting, breaking away, what? Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I love once my brother taught about these orgies and the like. That means the Bible is like, I don't need to continue listing. And anything that is like this, these are the works of the flesh. So someone will ask, where is smoking? It is there. And the like. Where is taking drugs? It is there. And the like. Anything that you do that destroys the principle of God, the created order of God, the body that God has given you to take care of, anything that you do is the works of the flesh. And it says, And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it doesn't matter whether you say you're a Christian, you're under the grace, and you are living like this. What the Bible is assuring you, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to come to the cross of Jesus and surrender and crucify the sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5, verse, is it 20? Yes, yeah, we continue. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let me stop there. The opposite of the sinful nature is this. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That means, how do we prove or how do we see that we have overcome the sinful nature? It is in our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Let us look at that word. What is crucifixion? Crucifixion is a process of torture and death. So crucifixion is not complete if you have not died. When Jesus was crucified, he was not removed from the Bible says that what they would do, they will have to, they had to be a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier, to confirm that the person died. And what they will do is they have to pierce your side. And when they pierce the side, what did they find? Water and blood came out of the side of Jesus. That means that if even when you pour out blood, you have the plasma, and you have the red component of blood separate, that shows that someone is dead. And that is what proved to them that Jesus had died, because the water and the blood had separated. Even the blood had separated. Science is just in the Bible, eh? Then, for the other two guys who are on the cross, they are not yet dying. So what they did, they broke their legs. Why? Because on the cross, for someone to keep breathing, they have to keep lifting themselves using their knees. So as long as they keep lifting themselves, they'll keep breathing in. They will not die. And that's why people will be crucified. They will take even 3 days or 7 days on the cross before they die, especially if someone is physically fit. The guy will just keep breathing. When he's tired, at some point he will even stop feeling pain in the knees, in the where he's crucified from, where the feet. He will just use it and breathe in. Because survival, people survive. But you see, because the next day was the Passover, the next day was the Sabbath, they did not want the bodies to remain there. So they went and asked for permission. Can we break their legs? Even Herod himself had to go and confirm, can you make sure that confirm for me that Jesus has died, because these guys, they said they will steal his body. So Jesus died. You know what you are telling us? That those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature and its passions. So what we are saying here is that sinful nature has passions. It is worldliness. It is a capacity. It is a that has there's a self-reliance. We are sold into slavery to sin. That means under the control of sin. Anyone who is not in Christ is a slave to sin. So sin is a law at work in the members of the body of every human being. There's a law at work. That means it is a spirit. And actually, sinful nature is a spirit. It is a law at work. It is like gravity. There is a law at work in the members of our body. And Paul was saying that the evil I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But the good I want to do, I don't do. So I find there is a law at work in the members of my body that makes me to do evil. There is a law, there is a principle at work in my body that makes me want to do evil. And this law is a result of the sin of Adam. Because Adam did not fall because of sinful nature. Adam did not have any sinful nature in him. But he was tempted by the devil. Temptation does not come from God. Temptation comes from the devil. So Adam was tempted by the devil. But now us, we are no longer tempted by the devil. Of course, unless you are ready, you are like Jesus coming back again. The reason why it's the devil who had to come to tempt Jesus himself is because Jesus did not come with the flesh. Jesus did not inherit the sin of Adam. He did not have that sinful nature. That is why it's the perfect sacrifice. But you see, the difference is that us, how are we tempted in our time? Let us see what the Bible says. James. Go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no one who say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Let me use a simplified version, then we can quickly jump to amplified, which gives us that we are not lost. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it becomes death. So that means that when we fall into sin, no one should blame God and say, God is tempting me. Why? Because God cannot be tempted by evil. God, there is no evil in God. But what does it say? Everyone is tempted by his own evil desire. What is the evil desire we are learning? The evil desire is the sinful nature. These are the cravings, the passions. But Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and cravings. So sinful nature are illicit cravings, illicit evil desires that are in opposition to God. These are the things. This is a law. It's a law that is at work in the members of our body that you find ourselves. It's a tendency that it is. You don't need to teach a child how to sin. They will just steal sugar. And if you ask the child, have you stolen sugar? They will say, no. Yet the sugar is in the mouth. Now you'll ask yourself, who taught this child how to sin? Now that is the sinful nature. The spirit that is at work in the members of every person who does not believe in Christ. It is a law. It is a spirit. And worse still, it is a dominating spirit. If you read Romans chapter 8, it says that those who are dominated by the sinful nature are slaves to it. They cannot inherit God because the sinful nature is in opposition to God. Those who are in the flesh, those who are in the sinful nature, cannot please God. You can never please God if you're living it. But the Bible says there's a solution to it. Those who are led, those who are under the Spirit of God, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. They have overcome the flesh and its sinful nature. So Paul was not ending in fear and saying that, oh, there's nothing good I can come. There's nothing good in me. Oh, who will save me from the law of sin and death? But he says, but now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2, has set us free from the law of sin and death. That means that there are two laws at work, but there's a superior law that comes in. The law of gravity exists and it is real. But there's another law called the law of aerodynamics that is superior to the law of gravity. And this law of aerodynamics is the one that causes planes to rise. Metal, 500 tons of metal is in the air and is not falling down, and it is controlled. And that is why we can move from here to America and come back just on energy, because we activated a law, a superior law to the law of gravity. There's a law of velocity that is superior to the law of gravity that keeps objects orbiting within the earth. I don't want to go into physics because I did physics a long time ago. But give an example. When you have a string and you're doing a circular thing, you're throwing it around. This is how rockets leave the earth. As you keep throwing the rope, it gets to a point where it reaches a critical speed. And that critical speed is enough for it to escape the gravity of the earth. And the rocket leaves the earth. So now related to the spiritual things. When we are under the control of sin, when we are under the control of our sinful nature, we are slaves to it. That means we are living under the dictates of this earth. We are under the principles of this earth. We are under the control of evil men. We are struggling with sin. We walk in sin. We live in sin. Our thoughts are sinful. Our actions are sinful. Everything that we do is under the control of the sinful nature, which we inherited from Adam, because the Bible tells us just as sin reigned from the time of Adam to Moses in one man, because of Adam sinned, all sinned. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fall. There is no one who is without excuse that they have sinned. All have sinned and are fallen short according. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means even me, I have sinned, and sin has the potential and has the capacity to work in me, and that's why the Bible says no one can claim to be without sin, because there's no one who's righteous. Even in this 1 hour you have listened to me, you have thought of evil things. That means there's a law at work in us that causes us to sin. But there's a superior law, there's a law of velocity that helps us to now live above sin, that moves us from death to life, that moves us into the air, that we are living now above sin. What is that law? That is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free. We escape the law of sin and we enter into the law of grace. We enter into the ability to live above the dictates of sin. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 11 says that he equates it to the circumcision. He says that those that are in Christ have received a spiritual circumcision, which is the cutting away of sinful nature. That means that spiritually sinful nature is cut away from us. That means every believer who believes it and who has received the free gift of salvation is no longer a slave to sinful nature. But as long as they now choose to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and not to be obey the dictates of the flesh. Because what the instructions of the sinful nature, the instructions, the evil desires, the cravings, because what the devil will do, he will not tempt you from inside, he will tempt you from externally. Especially when you know that your sinful nature is cut off. Now the sinful nature temptations will come like they came to Jesus, that they came from Adam, not from inside you, but from outside. That is the difference between the believer who knows that they are not a slave to sinful nature. But you will find some believers who believe, I'm a slave to sinful nature, so it's just me. What can I do? Naturally, I just have to fall into sin. This is me. I can't do anything about it. That means this person does not know the power of the Spirit life, the power of the Holy Spirit to supersede, to overcome the law of the flesh. And anyone who is continually led by the Spirit of God is no longer a slave to sin. Anyone that is continually in obedience to God, that means when you've spoken something wrong to your wife and the Holy Spirit says, go and ask for forgiveness, you immediately, whether you are the king, whether you are the president, you humble yourself, you say, I am sorry. And the Bible says, if anyone confesses our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the superior law is the law of the Spirit of life, the law of grace, the law of forgiveness, the law of mercy. I tell you, mercy prevails over judgment. Because the devil is the accuser, he will keep bringing the accusations before God. But when you cry mercy, because God says, I desired mercy. God desires mercy. And if you're there and you're a slave to sin, you've been a slave to sin, this morning you can be set free. Because there are principles, there are laws that are superior to the laws of sin. Maybe you've been in bondage to masturbation. You've been in bondage to immorality. You've been in bondage to anger. You've been in bondage to drugs and addictions and mental issues. There's a law that is superior that can set you free from the law of sin. And this is the law of life in the Spirit of God. This is the law of the Spirit of Christ. This is the law of life. And this, we receive it by faith. By believing, it is just a simple belief that Christ paid the price, and he has paid the price, and by him paying the price, we are called sons of God. He has made us children of God. He has given us the power and the right to be sons of God. And my brother, my sister, when you are a child of God, you receive the Holy Spirit. I know we love teaching Pentecostal that you have to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to think. Once you are speaking in tongues, that's when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But no, the Bible tells us, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit dwells in you? That means the day you receive your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one who has convicted you, and he enters your heart and he dwells with you. And the Bible says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. He has given us the Spirit as an assurance, as a deposit, guaranteeing our salvation. This is the assurance of salvation, that you have received Christ. You are a believer. You are a Christian. And Christ lives in you, and you are assured of heaven. And anytime you are led by the Spirit of God, anytime you are convicted by the Spirit of God of your sin, anytime you are guided, don't apply for this job, accept this decision, anytime God guides you like that, this is my doing, all things, then you are a son of God. Then you are a child of God. Then you are sensitive to the leadings of God. Then you are in obedience to the things of God. And when you are in obedience, my brother, my sister, then you live in the superior law. You are that plane that has taken over. You are that rocket that has left the earth. You are now living above. You are living in the thoughts of God. You are walking in the thoughts of God. You are walking in the principles of God. Your mind, you receive the mind of Christ. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all rulers, all dominion, far above the dictates, far above demons, far above principalities, far above wickedness, far above all spiritual forces of this dark age. That means they can't even see you. Your life is in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. Witchcraft cannot find you, because you are not on the ground. You're not with the chicken, but you are like an eagle. That's why the Christian life, the spiritual life, is referred to as an eagle. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. When destruction comes, we mount up. When opposition comes, we mount up. When witchcraft comes, we mount up. When evil comes, we mount up. When temptations come, we mount up. When judgment comes, we mount up. When demons want to attack us, we mount up. And even we are not even supposed to come down. Our life is up there. Know where you are. Know where you are seated with Christ. Believe it. And if you're believing it, just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I am a sinner. I ask that you forgive me for my sins. I know that you died and you are resurrected for my glory. You died for my sins and you are resurrected for my glory. And today I receive your Spirit in me. I am a child of God. And today I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to obey your Spirit. And I want to hear your Spirit. Teach me your ways, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. If you have said this prayer, find the Bible Believing Church. Go with other believers. Open the Bible today. Read it for yourself. Understand it. And you will realize that sinful nature was dealt with in Christ. It was cut off. It is no longer at work in your body. And you're not a slave to it. The devil will tempt you from outside. What is outside? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All those are things that come from outside. But you can say no. Because the Bible says the grace of the Lord teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. And from today, what you will see is that the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that this message has been helpful to you. And if it has, please subscribe to the channel, share, comment, give me feedback. And if you have other questions, raise them up. And by the grace of God, we'll be here on this on YouTube, where this channel we call Spirit and Life, on Facebook, Spirit and Life, and on Telegram, Spirit and Life. And you will find on Telegram, you'll find all audio messages that I've preached. You can download them. You can share them as audio messages. If you want to listen while you're doing other things, you can listen. I know YouTube does not allow you to listen while you're doing other things, except maybe you have a very smart smartphone. But you can do that on Telegram. So find the audios, or maybe you've listened through WhatsApp. I shared with you. But if in case I forget to share with you, just go on Telegram and download the app and search for Spirit and Life, and you'll be able to download the audios and listen to them while you do your duties. And all audios are there, they're labeled, and this someone is also labeled, will also be labeled. I pray that it's been a blessing to you. May God bless you and help you to live the Spirit life. You're an eagle, rise up, mount. That's why the living creatures, one of them is like an eagle. That is a revelation, go and dig into it. Bye-bye, the face of an eagle. And I love you. Let's meet again tomorrow. Same channel, same method, same methodology. God bless. Bye.